on this auspicious and monumental occasion of India's 74th Independence Day, we at Cricket Unplugged decided to have an Independence Day special. This episode is dedicated to India's valiant, brave and path-breaking cricketers who have ensured that the game of cricket has risen and risen and grown in the years to come. So we take the listeners through various outstanding and match-winning performances from individuals and teams across decades for India. We go right from 1971, where Sunil Gavaskar single-handedly ensured India won their first ever Test Series in West Indies against the great West Indies. Two more recent successes, such as the epic win in Adelaide in 2002, or be it Gautam Gambhir's epic masterclass in New Zealand to ensure that India won a Test Series there after more than 30 to 35 years. So this episode is completely dedicated to India, Indian cricketers, and what Indian cricket means to a lot of us, and especially me and Suraj. So here's wishing all the listeners of Cricket Unplugged, especially the Indian listeners, a very happy 74th Independence Day.
We human beings, we all assume identities, be it your job or your ethnicity or a political viewpoint, we all are associated with one form of order or the other. Sometimes they might be self-assumed identities based on the choice of your intellect, or they might be identities which you are born into. I believe the strongest identity of them all is that of your culture, your traditions, and your heritage. And for me personally, nothing beats the feeling of pride and honor when I say that I am Indian. That, I think, is the most natural feeling that anybody born on this lucky land will have. Even when you watch sports, there is a completely different feeling when India plays. On the field are a set of 11 players who represent the same values as you. The players who carry the same pride and honor that you carry in your heart. The players who play for your motherland. Simply put, they represent you, they're a part of you. As a cricket fan, you might like the flair of the West Indies, the grit of the Aussies, or the unpredictability of the Pakistanis. But at the end of the day, it's only natural that a true Indian can only support his own team regardless of victory or defeat. On today's Independence Day special episode, we will be talking about the valiant efforts of the Indian cricket team in all the formats of the game. Raghav will be taking us through the wonderful exploits of the Indian team post-2000, when they became a superpower in the sport, not just in terms of performances on the field, but also the power of the field. And I will be mentioning few of the memorable performances which have defined the game in the previous century as far as Indian cricket is concerned. Raghav?
Yeah. So first of all, it's a pretty big occasion to be associated with, as in the 74th Independence Day. So
absolutely.
Happy Independence Day to you as well, and all the listeners tuning in. So, yes, it is, as you were perfectly put it, it is definitely a matter of when you see the players representing the country, because they are, as you nailed it, they are a part of us. So, we in pride in we can vary on the players we like, we adore, and some of the, as you very good put, we can admire the other countries, the various qualities from the other countries. But at the end of the day, when India plays, there is definitely a kick and a thrill to watch them, which cannot be exactly put into words as such. So that patriotic feeling is the best way to probably discuss. And yes, I am looking forward to sharing a lot of what has been truly defining past few decades from an Indian cricket perspective in this episode. So, I am keenly looking.
Yeah. I am a cricket history tragic, as I would like to call, because I am. I'm extremely interested in the history of the game, the way how, you know, the game has evolved. And I cannot fail but to see the beauty in which the nation, as let's say even an economy, has evolved over the years. And quite in parallel has been the growth of the Indian cricket team too. So let's say probably India started off their cricketing adventures in 1932. That was the very first time that an Indian cricket team played a test match, and that was against England. And later on, they won a few years down the line against England, that too in Chennai, the place where I'm sitting right now and talking. So that is a fantastic cricket team, which was really starting into the scene. They had won a few test matches, they had started to win a few matches abroad, and they started to gain a few fan following. In the 80s, of course, you know what happened. They won the World Cup, and that literally changed the whole scenario of things. In the 90s, India started becoming a fantastic team, and probably one of the really tough teams to beat at home. Although we were not amazing abroad, in the 90s, the Indian teams, with the help of the spinners, really formed a formidable proposition for any foreign team who was coming into the Indian shores. And I believe, as we all know, after 2000, the game has gone, in a different tide altogether. We are probably considered front runners to win most of the major trophies, ICC tournaments, be it a Champions Trophy or a World Cup. And even when we go offshore to win, I mean, to play test matches in England, South Africa, New Zealand or Australia, anything for that matter, we are definitely considered a force. Raghav, I'm sure you will have a lot of special memories or even special test matches which you really have a special likening to. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. So firstly, I would like to build on what you said. So Indian cricket transformed post the 1983 World Cup win. So almost galvanized a generation of youngsters to consider cricket as a profession. So that was how big that win was. And then you had the grit which Sunny Ji bought in West Indies, which was almost, even now it is almost unparalleled to imagine an Indian team going to the West Indies and dominating them, not just beating them, so dominating. That is truly iconic, I would say. So, and then when you talk about the 90s, is perfectly, as you said, India, we tend to, I think not only Indian cricket, but generally any cricket fan tends to overlook the home track record by saying you are expected to win at home. So I don't think it's that easy in the sport. Yes, you are familiar with the conditions, but that doesn't take away any
the sheep what to win at home. So I think every country, for that matter, even Australia or England, the stalwarts would rate their wins overseas much higher. And even I agree to a large extent with them, but we need to look at even wins, some iconic wins over the years as well. So that's one point. But coming to my most or among the many memorable test matches which India was part of, were the first game which comes to my memory would be the 2002 Adelaide test win. So why I specifically mentioned that game is, so as you very well put, India were not a force to reckon with in the when they toured abroad. And the very same India got pulverized in Australia in 99 and early part of the when Sachin was captain. They were thrashed. So you're going back to the same country 2 years later under my favorite Indian captain of all time, Sourav Ganguly. So I think they would come close, in my opinion, in terms of impact and the way they hit the lead and literally paved the way for a team to move to march ahead. So that's why, and that was the phase from 2000 to 2006 was the phase in my personal fondness for the game where I was really into the. And now into the Indian team as much as I am earlier, but Ganguly's team, I was literally living each play journey. So I think you can build on that in your analysis post my game. So post the game, which I'm going to talk about, I used to live their journey. So if you look at it, Zahir Khan, Yuvraj Singh, Irfan Pathan, Mohammad Kaif, Harbhajan Singh, I've lived through their highs and lows, and I still lament and regret the way they have been treated when they're in the slum, downhill. And I personally attribute it to one particular set of selectors and captains who just didn't give enough value to these players. But apart from that, the big turning point in Indian cricket in that time was, I personally believe, not the iconic 2001 series win in India. That certainly was truly game-changing. I would definitely agree. But Sourav Ganguly himself mentioned that his goal was to make sure India becomes a force when they travel abroad. And that was beautifully emphasized and shown in that test in 2002 in Adelaide, where it was slipping away from India's hands. Actually, if you take your memory back to that game, that iconic game where Rahul Dravid batted almost the full game, I think. So, so he was that good in that game. 237, if I'm not wrong, in the first. It was
233, I think, in the first inning.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it was that sort of a performance. And then to have that 6-4 from Ajit Agarkar in the second innings, which literally rattled Australia. So that is really sends goosebumps even now when I watch highlights of that game. Because still we very well know how.
The person who absolutely is, the guy who does not hold back his words while praising India in 2020, that is Ravi Shastri. I remember in 2002, before the start of the series, he said that if India lost 2-0 in the fourth test series, he would still consider it as a fantastic achievement. So that speaks volumes of the achievement of the Indian team there.
Exactly. So I think his comments were coming from India's generally poor track record overseas prior to the series, plus what happened in the previous tour where they got thrashed. So, and I add to Ravi Shastri's emotion, I would say, not words, by saying it was not expected that India would come back like that in the second, Agarkar taking the 6 over, and then the epic winning moment when Rahul Dravid plays a square cut of Stuart McGill and takes his cap off. I would say literally here. So Rahul Dravid and India and Sourav Ganguly, the leader and his team, because you beat Australia, who had Steve Waugh, Ricky Ponting, Gilchrist, Matthew Hayden, Langer. I think Brett Lee also played in that game. The bowling was not at its potent best without, because they didn't have McGrath and Shane Warne, but still, you can't take away from the fact that it was among the most memorable wins ever in India's Test match history. So, that is my. So, I am curious to know what is your most memorable win.
So, I would just like to begin with. I think I will need to mention the very first victory that India had abroad. There wasn't much of wins that India had before 2000 while playing abroad, but probably one of the best memorable wins was the 1968 series in New Zealand. So the first test match of the series, India won, and they won by 5 wickets, and M.A.K. Patode was the captain. And Ajit Wadekar, and, the late Ajit Wadekar, who was on 71 while chasing 200. So that was a very first victory for India in foreign soil. And in fact, they won the four-match series 3-1. So we are talking about a New Zealand which wasn't very weak. You know, they had the great Bev Congdon as the captain. And... they had a very fine team, and then the performance of India was great. I think that was probably the entry of the spin quartet also. Erappalli Prasanna, the great Erappalli Prasanna, took 24 wickets in that series. So he was by far the highest wicket taker in that series. So he took 24 wickets, and for a spinner to perform that well in... New Zealand was something which was unheard of. So that is one instance which I would say. But I think, as you had also mentioned about during what you were saying, the first great victory which really had a stamp on the history of Indian cricket was definitely the series victory over the mighty West Indies in 1971. And it was a 5-match series, and India won the second test at Port of Spain, and they were able to draw the other 4 test matches, and by virtue of that, they won the series 1-0. It was a fantastic performance. Sunil Gavaskar was a 21-year-old young batsman. He was picked fresh out of Bombay, and then he was thrown into the, you know, wickets of onto the bouncy wickets of Barbados and Jamaica, where even the West Indian batsman could not muster runs, and the young man scored nothing less than 774 runs in the series, and it was an quite unbelievable achievement. In I think there was just one innings out of the 8 which he played in which he did not score anything less than 50, which is an unbelievable achievement. He batted without, you know, the helmet, and he was facing the likes of the great Van Holder. You know, he was a fantastic fast bowler then. And of course,
yes,
the one and only Gary Sobers. So he was facing a pretty decent attack, and then he scored 400s in that series, and then he signed it off with a second innings 220, which I think it's still unmatched. Gavaskar still remains, I think, the only person to have scored, only Indian to have scored two double centuries outside India, that too in the fourth innings of, in the second innings of a Test match. So that really, defined the great Gavaskar. He was the first Indian, first great Indian batsman, of course. And also, you need to mention a certain Dilip Sardesai. Dilip Sardesai was the second highest scorer in that series. I would say that in the very first Test match, Dilip Sardesai was a little bit out of form. To give you a pre-context, he was probably considered not in the primest of form. Everybody knew his abilities, but he had not quite lived up to, you know, a lot of that. And there were a lot of questions regarding his selection, and he was not in the team for a few years, and then wasn't also considered so physically fit. But then come the first test, Dilip Sardesai silenced all the critics with a fantastic 212. And that really set the tone for the Indian batsman in the five-match series, and signaled to the West Indies bowlers that no, this is not going to be a run-in-the-mill victory like you think. So
yes, yes.
It was a fantastic performance. It was almost a fairy tale series for India. I think nobody can ever forget the 1971 India tour of West Indies, because we are talking about a West Indies team with the likes of Rohan Khanna, Alvin Kalicharan, Clive Lloyd, Gary Sobers as the captain. And then you have the explosive Roy Fredericks, who like a couple of years after that scored, I think, the fastest 100 during that time, that too in Perth. So you had some classy players in the West Indies lineup, and the great Srinivas Venkat Raghavan, he ended up as the great top wicket taker in the series. So it was a fantastic all-round team performance, and definitely one which really stays on top of the mind. Moving on to probably a more recent victory, I wouldn't really think that you will have a victory over West Indies in your list, because it's nothing but a walk in the park these days for the Indian cricket team. But I'm sure you have something else.
Yes, actually, I have a couple of games actually which come to my mind. So, and before I get to that, I would also like to appreciate you for bringing up this series, because it is truly unthinkable for this particular generation of cricket fans, because they don't know what those cricketers had to endure in the 70s when it comes to, as we have discussed earlier as well in our previous episodes, the quality of the bowling attacks, the pitches, the bare fact that the players didn't have helmets. Of course, you have a classic case of Sir Viv, who didn't want to wear a helmet. So that's a different thing. But keeping his greatness aside, I would say even generally, there was no helmets. That, and look at that magnitude of that achievement. Yes, it definitely cannot overlook, and you cannot go past that, I would say, beating that West Indies in West Indies with that amount of... So it was great to hear about that. And coming to my couple of games, I would say, which holds pretty fond place in my heart, would be India's win in Karachi in 2004. Is it Karachi or I think Lahore? I'm not sure.
I think we lost in Lahore. We won in Multan and Rawalpindi.
Rawalpindi. Right. So I would say it is the one in Multan, which I wanted to elaborate a bit about, because, so I got confused with the cities. So that's a little bit. But yeah, so the one in Multan, because it's always a it has always been a matter of pride when India take on Pakistan. So, and matter of extreme high level of patriotism, and we want every single player to do well. So, in that particular series, even more than probably when India take on England or Australia or South Africa. So, that level of patriotism shoots up. So, you have a iconic series where you go to Pakistan and General Musharraf, I clearly remember how he praised and his swag. So, I still remember that. But that phase of Indian cricket was truly what defined what you see now. So, many people would attribute Virat Kohli's brilliance and his team's success to what MS Dhoni left behind. But I would say that basic seed was planted by Sourav Ganguly's team, where you believed you could win anywhere against any opposition. And you don't win the way they went about winning the game. 410 run opening partnership between Sehwag and Dravid. So that is something amazing, mind-blowing, not amazing. And just imagine India taking on Pakistan. Pakistan with the likes of Nawaz Ul Hasan Rana, I think Iftikhar Ahmed, Shoaib Akhtar, Danish Kaneria. You're not talking about second-grade bowlers. They are like really at the peak of their form in that. And this was succeeding the 2003 World Cup game as well at the Centurion. So the tension was at its highest. And you have Virendra Sehwag being Virendra Sehwag. So he just goes about butchering the Pakistan bowling, and every boundary is almost fresh in my mind. So, and I was watching this game at a phase when I opened my first email account in Yahoo, and my Yahoo first email ID that I created in my life was called Sehwag_Multan@yahoo.co.in. So that was how much that match meant to me. So I take pride in that. It was an amazing performance. And of course, the series as a whole was, I think, iconic in many ways. The way both the countries actually showed that cricket can speak about the politics and the tension at the border. True quality cricket will be appreciated by both fans. I didn't see any incident where fans were not behaving in the right way. It was a beautifully conducted series as well. So, and it has some of the fondest memories from a person where they have Irfan Pathan taking a hat-trick of the first three balls of a test match. So, and that still remains among the best moments from an Indian cricket perspective in my life, which I have seen live or when from the 80s, 70s. So that followed by Sehwag's brilliance and overall, and we can add to the fact that in trying conditions as well, Indian bowlers stood tall. So there's always been a case, probably now the balance is kind of tilted in India's favor when it comes to quality of bowlers, especially fast bowlers. But at that time in 2003-04, Indian fast bowling attack wasn't rated that highly because it had some young Turks like Irfan Pathan, Balaji, and Zahir Khan had just had a couple of good series. So you're looking at Pakistan clearly being the dominant force in terms of bowling attacks. To see India win the series primarily through its bowling is pretty much etched in my heart and memory. And I truly wish this generation could revisit that test series, because you don't get to see that on TV. You just get to see what India does in the ICC events against Pakistan. But that series, because then you will know what it truly means for our generation to witness India Pakistan. And one special mention before I get your next selection in this list, is the amazing performance of Gautam Gambhir in New Zealand in 2009 to draw.
That was
something special. Fantastic performance. Completely gets unnoticed and it doesn't get covered enough in the media. But India did win a series in New Zealand in 2009. And one of the key factors was Gautam Gambhir's dogged and defiant batting, where he batted out the fifth day. He didn't even score 100, I think. I'm not sure about his exact score when the match ended. Was what you need in the fifth day when you want a match and win the series. It was truly amazing. It was fantastic to see because it was not a flat deck any means, and you had Chris Martin, I think Ian O'Brien, I guess they had Tim Southee, if I'm not wrong, just making his inroad into the team. So you had some really good ballers in some tough, windy conditions. Truly, I think for people who haven't watched the 1971 series live or the highlights, the closest, the closest that we guys could get to would be this series. And this particular match where Gambhir batted out. So the level of difficulty when it comes to opposition, the bowling attack, the situation of the series, and what mental determination and grit Gambhir brought in there, that would be special. I wish, on a personal note, it got more mileage. But I think Gambhir and his contribution to Indian cricket has mileage. So this is just one game, I guess, in that list.
Raghav, to be frank, that's one of my really favorite innings too. So I still remember, I believe that was the second test of that India-New Zealand series, which India won, I think, 1-0. I think we should have won it 2-0. But in the third test, we just had to take about one wicket. And then that's when rain came and then washed out the last few sessions or something. Right. But it was an incredible performance. And if I'm not wrong, he actually started batting at the end of the third day. I think the fag end of the third day is when he started batting, and he batted throughout the fourth day. And I think he batted almost till half of the fifth day score 100 of some 100 of some 400 balls or something. It was an epic effort, and that was a great effort and definitely a worthwhile victory. So unfortunately, we do not see or even value innings of such worth, especially in times of white ball cricket, when people just smash the balls all over the park. And that is the difference between the tours of England, which happened these days, and the tour to England, which happened in 1971. So after the successful tour of the West Indies earlier in the year, in 1971, which we just discussed just now, the Indian team began their sojourn onto England. So, of course, India had never won a test match, let alone a series in England till then. And it was definitely a matter of pride. Ajit Wadekar was the captain of the team. And then the series was a little bit different. So to give a brief, the tours to England is not like how it happens these days, where a set of players will play destructive white ball cricket on dead Indian pitches, just smashing hapless bowlers all around the park. And then they will catch a flight on the evening and go to England and then struggle to score 200 in a test match. So it was different back then. So it was a series wherein India went to England in June, and then they played their last match in September. So if you look at it, they started off their three-day series with Middlesex. Then they played with Essex, Kent, Leicestershire, Warwickshire, Glamorgan, Hampshire, and finally they played their first test match against England And before their second test match, they played against Surrey. And after their second test match, they played against Yorkshire and Nottinghamshire. Then after the third test match, again, they had first-class matches being played against Sussex, Somerset, and Warwickshire, after which they finally flew back to India. So for cricketers, the first-class matches were even played at the same level of intensity as test matches. You know, scoring 100 against a Somerset, you know, or 100 against Yorkshire was considered a fantastic achievement, even as equal to scoring a century against England. So the series, the first test match was drawn, and the second test match was also drawn, and India and England went on to the final test match with an all to play for situation. And again, we are talking about an England team which was captained by Ray Illingworth. He was probably the best spin bowler in the 70s, and he was the highest wicket taker of the 1970s. And there was Ray Illingworth and Derek Underwood, another fantastic spinner. And then you have John Snow, brilliant fast bowler. And on the batting front, they had John Edridge, Keith Fletcher, and the gritty Alan Knott. So it was a really good team back then. And Indians, as I mentioned, were being captained by Ajit Wadekar. And they had really street smart cricketer to have ever emerged from India, Mushi or Kundappa Vishwanath. And of course, they had a pretty good bowling lineup with Venkatraghavan, Bedi, and Chandrasekhar, the spin trio, and Syed Abid Ali, the fast bowler. So in the final match, they put up a really good performance. England was bowled out for 101 in their second innings, thanks to a brilliant spell by Bhagwat Chandrasekhar, 6 for 38. That is still considered probably one of the greatest performances. So as you see, in New Zealand, it was Prasanna. In West Indies, it was Venkatraghavan. And in England, it turned out to be Chandrasekhar. So fantastic, you know. And of course, they also had Bedi. So all the spinners playing their part. And then India had a target of 173 to chase. And then they did it with rather ease, I would say. They won by 4 wickets. And that was the very first time India won a test match in England. And by virtue of winning that test match, they also won the three-match series 1-0. So that was probably the very first time, you know, that a subcontinent team has performed so well in England also. And they repeated their feat again later on in 1986 when they defeated England 2-0. Even that was a formidable team. They had David Gower and Graham Gooch and all of those players. And India came out trumps in the 1986 series. One other player which I really want to mention is Dilip Vengsarkar. Dilip Vengsarkar has the rather unique record of scoring 300s against England at Lord's. So he has an average of about 100. And he has a big average in Lord's. He had scored 3 centuries, can you imagine? And he was one of the major reasons how India won the series in 1986. They won it 2-0. It was a bit of a downside when it comes to the England cricket team also, but they were fresh off a fantastic Ashes victory. But then India were brilliant. Yes, so those are two really important victories, I believe, against England in England. Raghav, yours?
Yeah, so I think for me, personally, in England, in recent memory, I think post the 2000s, the one key instance which comes to my mind is the 2007 series win back there in England. So because they had a lot of things going on in Indian cricket at that time, which was really pretty appalling and disgusting, actually, if I have to put it that way. Greg Chappell tarnishing the Indian spirit and started to doubt players like Sourav Ganguly, Sachin Tendulkar, for that matter. So there are many things there. They did, he did all sort of things which were not pleasant, as in he reshuffled the batting order, he asked Sachin to come at two down in a one-day game, and he asked Irfan Pathan to come at one down. So you could look at all the players, he was taking them out of the comfort zone in a way, but in the wrong way, actually. So, when you have such a precursor to that tour in 2007, and to see what happened there from a purely test series perspective, not only from Indian, but if even England had some performance, this that stay in your mind. But from Indian perspective, you look at how well Zahir Khan bowled. So I think in that series, he was a true star, because before that, he was asked to go to Worcestershire. He was asked to play in county cricket. Cricket to prove his worth in the team. So you have a person who is being questioned, his integrity, his spot in the team is being questioned. So he goes there and he picks up 75 wickets for Worcestershire in six games or something. And then he comes back to the Indian team. And then he was a true star, and he had the likes of RP Singh and as a captain. And who can forget Anil Kumble's epic 117? This sort of the memories overall. And if you look at the team as well, it was probably among the most balanced competition we had in when it comes to India versus England. Because England also were in a sort of turmoil in the pace, on the pace front. Their batting unit was very solid at that time as well. And he had KP, Ian Bell, and the likes who were even Matt Prayer for a matter, who were doing extremely good. But their bowling had some fresh faces, but it was not intimidating from on the outset at least. But just to see the fight which India could muster, and more than anything, it was a symbolic win, I think. I would say now their worth as a cricketing nation was put under a lot of scandal through the Greg Chappell era and what happened. So, and if you look at this series, apart from being a very epic win, you have what followed in that particular series as well, in the one-day series with India winning 3-2. There was a superbly fought one-day series where the fifth game, I remember, Robin Uthappa took the game away from England. And Robin Uthappa happens to be from the college I did my undergraduate. So I was really almost rolling and jumping with joy when I was watching the game with my family. So it was a matter of, if you had to call it, that guy from my college has won India ODI series in England. So that aside, what followed that is what will be talked about in the coming segment. So in this episode, where we look into the T20 World Cup, and then post that, what has happened to world cricket with the emergence of the IPL. So this series was a beautiful and just was something which changed the face of cricket as such. 2020 cricket and the World T20 win which India managed to achieve. back then in 2007. So it's a beautiful, I would say, chain of events and memories attached to this test series. So of course, I don't want to dwell into the nitty-gritties of the particular series, but of course, you can't take away two players, especially Zahir Khan and Rahul Dravid, the skipper and the batsman, for the superlative performances in that
definitely, without doubt.
It truly was a memorable episode wherein we got to hear a lot of great stories and the hardships that Indian cricketers went through when they toiled without all the facilities and all the luxuries the modern day cricketer had in the 70s and 80s to pave, to create or a path for the generations ahead to follow. Especially, it was really an insightful and mind-opening piece of information which Suraj brought right through the episode when he spoke about India's triumphant victory in the West Indies, followed by Dilip Sardesai's brilliance to help them win in England, and how he dug out a lot of truly memorable and goosebumps inducing stats which our generation should be very proud of, and we should go back and actually, in my opinion, experience what they have done and what they have done for the current generation of cricketers for whom I dwelt on in detail as to how Sourav Ganguly's team didn't want to just rest on their laurels by winning at home, and how he paved the way as such for India's resurgence as a world-beating force in Test cricket in overseas conditions, be it the epic win in Adelaide or the Test series win in Pakistan, and then later on how it helped Rahul Dravid achieve amazing success in England. And this episode is also special in one more way, as we all know that we got independence from the British after more than 200 years of hard-fought struggle. So we wanted to specifically dwell on how well India have done in England, which is considered to be very tough for teams to succeed there, let alone any team from the subcontinent. So we wanted to put specific emphasis on the English team because we got independence from them, and this being Independence Day special, we wanted to bring that out. So on that note, we look forward to having you back for our next episode on similar theme, which would actually highlight some of the most memorable performances from Indians across other formats, that is ODIs and T20s. Thanks.